Blog Talk Radio.
As a non-commercial radio station, KENS FM survives in large part by the generosity of listeners like you, who value public radio and have become a member. Your donation continues to allow us to support local artists and musicians and play the music you want to hear, not what advertisers think we should play. It enables us to broadcast feature story news so you can hear the news, not opinions. Public radio doesn't have an agenda. We're not in the business of pushing our point of view. Our mission is simple. Reflect your interests, not the interests of some corporation. If you believe that having an independent, non-commercial, public radio station in your community is a good idea, become a member now. Find out how by visiting our website at www.kensfm.com. And remember, independence has a cost, and it's as little as $10 a month.
We are going to have Kelly A. Bishop, and we are then going to have actor Mark Hoadley. And we're going to have a lot of fun tonight doing everything that we talk about right now. And if I'm not mistaken, I do believe one of my friends is on with us right now. I do believe Scott is there. How are you? At least I think he is there. Hello?
No, I don't see a Scott. It's me, though.
All right. Well, yeah, okay. How you doing, Big Swing? What's up, man?
Another day, man. Another Monday, you know?
Well, I know that Scott will be joining us here shortly, but until he arrives, you and I can hang on to the ship. And, of course, Matthias will be joining us in the second hour when you need to vacate. So we'll just kind of go until then. So what's new with you, man? Keep us kind of give us a breath of what's been up with you besides everything else.
So not too much. Just, you know, it's Yankee season, so I've been – following them, and you know, they don't have a game right now, and I actually have no games right now that I have to worry about covering, so I can you know, I can be on here with you guys this evening in wonderful Fargo, North Dakota. But yeah, man, just been busy. Had my, you know, my job pretty much full time, and been working and grinding, and you know, all that. So I got draft coverage on Thursday. That'll be fun. Do you think you're
Are you looking for the Dallas Cowboys to do anything?
Well, yeah, I would like them to. I know we have some holes in the offensive line that need to be filled. You know, linebacker position, we've got to get a running back, stuff like that. But I think we'll be okay. We still have one of the best rosters in the NFC, regardless. So I think we'll be all right. But my question is for you. Is are the Vikings going to make a trade? Do you think that they're going to pop up and use that capital that they got with the two first round picks to go up and get like a JJ McCarthy from Michigan? I'm sure you would love that, or get one of the other quarterbacks.
Well, you know, I do believe that is the all out plan right now, because as you know, we do need a quarterback. I mean, whoever we draft,
could you root for a Wolverine though?
Yes, I can. And, you know, I was kind of asked this today. Here's my thought on this, and people can send their angry tweets to Scott, Scott the Real Icon at Twitter or X. You can send your hate tweets now. But here has been my philosophy on this. If you are an opponent on the team that is not mine, I don't really like you that much. However, if you join the said team that I do cheer for, then I don't have a problem with you. But when you leave, I'm not going to like you. Like, for instance, I'm going to have issues with Kirk Cousins now because he left us and he went to Atlanta. Of course, I've always had issues with Atlanta anyway because of 98, and we don't need to get into that. All Viking fans know what happened then.
Yes, they do.
You know, it is what it is. And I, you know, like, for instance, I'm really looking forward to if we can get JJ, I mean, that would be a great, that would be a great combination, JJ to JJ. You know, I think that would be really cool.
It would be, but I think that you would have, you're going to have to get somebody in there, because if not, you're going to lose Jefferson as well, because he wants the ball. He wants somebody to get him the ball, and he kind of, I know he got hurt, but he kind of took a step back this year, and, you know, but if you have Addison and Jefferson both healthy, I mean, you guys have, you know, and Hockenson at tight end, you guys are pretty set in the receiving department. You just got to get somebody to throw him the ball, and right now you've got Sam Darnold. So, you know,
I think he'll be fine. I think Darnold will be fine. Well, JJ is learning the ropes. I mean, whoever we draft, whatever quarterback we draft, I have a strong belief that he will not start this season. That's why we picked up Darnold.
Unless there's some sort of an injury, right, or some emergency
right.
need for it, yeah.
But, you
yeah,
know, like,
I mean, definitely possible.
For instance, we all know how bad it was for Minnesota last year. When you lose your starting wide receiver and your starting quarterback in the same season, what else do you have left besides pieces?
That, true. Well, you guys also got Aaron Jones, who has been tearing you up for the last 10 years, and now all of a sudden he's going to be in your backfield. So that's going to be pretty good. So I think the Vikings have some pieces, but I do want to ask you real quick, because you are a Vikings guy, I got your opinion a couple of weeks ago regarding Zimmer, who we just brought in as our D coordinator, who actually had the best defense in the league, I think, for 2 or 3 years for a while, up the Purple People Eaters Minnesota defense. But we also got a guy who he played on the Chargers last year, but he was a long-time Viking. He's a linebacker, Eric Kendricks. And I remember hearing the name.
That's
Eric
a great pickup for you guys.
Yeah,
that's a great
he
pickup
he
for you.
He's all over the field, yeah. So
yeah.
I like him.
I'm jealous that you guys got him. I don't really care that much about Zimmer, but I'm actually jealous that you guys got Kendrick. So that,
yeah, I think he's
that's
good
for
good
you.
For us, hopefully. The defensive side, we don't get a lot of Vikings players, you know. We're not ever since Herschel Walker, they've stopped swapping players with us. But we've gotten him, and you know we've gotten one or two here and there. But no, Vikings fans, this is coming from somebody who you know doesn't hate the Vikings, but does work in sports media, and I think you guys are in good shape. I do think you know those of you who are Vikings fans listening in Fargo here tonight. You're going to have your work cut out for you. I mean, obviously the Lions are the Lions and went to the NFC Championship game last year. And then you've got, Green Bay is learning. They're getting better. They're a young team, but they're learning and getting better. And then the Bears are going to be sneaky good, I think. I mean, you know, with DJ Moore and now Keenan Allen, and then you've got Cole Kmet, and if they're able to get another receiver in there, plus DeAndre Swift in the backfield, that's going to be a division that people are talking about, I think, this year.
But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we're not the most competitive division this season.
It may be. Yeah, you guys are going to be at each other's throats. I honestly think that the Green Bay dynasty, however, is over. I think that time is now for either the Vikings or the Lions or the Bears or somebody to come up and sort of take the reins.
I'm going to make the prediction now that, and then we'll go to our other co-host. I'm going to make the prediction now. It is going to come down between Minnesota and Detroit. And I have
even with all the weapons, you don't think that the Bears have a shot this year?
Well, I didn't say that, but I think when it comes down to it, it's going to be between either Minnesota or Detroit.
Oh, for division winner, yes. Okay.
Yes, correct. Right. I mean, Chicago's going to be right there, but I think it's going to come down between maybe the last two games or the last three games of the season. We could always see with Minnesota that it's going to come down between those two. Now, I do believe Scott is with us. Are you there, sir?
I am. I'm here. I've been listening to you guys talk.
Well, you know, we don't really you know, we've never really talked to you much about sports. I've never really asked. Are you a sports guy?
Not too much. Yeah, I used to like football a lot, but I don't really watch it too much anymore. But football used to be the thing for me.
You know, it'd be cool though if we can get you to direct a sports movie. I think that'd be awesome.
I would be down for that. I would definitely be down for that if it were to come up.
Because, you know, I do have an idea. Of course, everybody's like saying, well, would you want to have a sports movie about you? Well, technically I do. And, you know, we have a Tuesday show, which unfortunately we're probably not going to be able to do it this week either because I have several family issues and I need to deal with. My father is ailing right now. And taking care of him is a top priority. I know he's listening right now. And, Dad, I love you. Get well. I'll be up to see you tomorrow. But things just are not going well with my family right now when it comes to health, that is.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm not going to air any health issues here right now. But it's not good. And hopefully we can get my father through this. And we'll be able to get him out of the hospital and get him back home as soon as we can. That's what I'm working on right now.
Take care of the family first, man. That's the most important thing.
Exactly. But the Tuesday show will continue. It's just when, I don't know. But like I say, I got some family issues we need to deal with, and that's what we need to concentrate on. But, Scott, what's been up with you, man?
I'm working on some other projects. It's a busy week. I'm having a really busy week. It was a busy day today, and I've got another one tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, because I made a deal. I'm working on a couple of different screenplays for different people right now. So.
And you're direct for them, right?
I'm not sure yet. Not sure about that, but I am definitely going to be writing for these people. Yeah, we've
all
already
right.
kind of signed contracts on that, so definitely working on scripts for these guys.
Right, and we know that you can't really talk about it right now. But as soon as you're able to, you know that we'll be able to promote everything that you got going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if I'm like I said right now. I mean, it's just it's a matter of, you know, they like the ideas that I've come up with. They want me to write the script. We're on the contract for it. I'm on the NDA for it. And so it's, you know, when you do it this way, it's not like writing on spec. When I write on spec, it's just I come up with myself. That's not how this is working. These guys already had ideas. They're not writers. So they're bouncing things off me every day, and then I have to try to figure out if I can make that work, how I can make that work, et cetera, et cetera. It's a process. So I don't think I'm going to be banging out a first draft for a while.
Well, you know, the thing is, though, for those that are listening, there is also on the horizon, there is going to be more stuff, more projects in the future that Scott Hand and Icon will be working on together. We have many ideas that we're going to put forth, and it is going to happen, so stay tuned for that as well. The two of us together are not going away.
No. No time soon.
And because, you know, I know that we have a great rapport, and we do have a lot of fun together, being on the show and doing other stuff, but the main thing is
We have some crowdfunding producers coming on tonight, I think, right?
Right, exactly. And the other thing is, the main thing is, we want to be able to have fun together, but there's also a little thing that we also want to do. It's called fake money. And that's always everybody's goal, I do believe.
Mm-hmm.
So we're waiting for our first guest to call in, and she'll be calling in shortly. Our first guest, like I say, on the shoot will be Jamie Apple, and we're going to be talking to her about some of her projects. Amityville Ripper, Head of the Writer's Block, My Brother's Keeper, Crack Coon. She's got a lot of upcoming stuff.
Did she do the
stuff.
Third channel?
I
Did
think
she do
so,
the third
yeah.
Channel? Yeah, okay.
I think so.
That's a Halloween 3 movie. Okay.
Yeah. She did the third channel, Bathtub Shark Attack. I like to you know, everybody thought, you know, you thought it was safe to be go back in the water. She can tell us why it was not safe to go back into the bathtub, apparently. So so we're going to be talking to her about that, and she's going to be calling in shortly. And when she calls in, we'll go to her after our commercial break. And we'll have some fun with that. And then, of course, like I say, Matthias, we will be joining us real soon in the second hour because, you know, Matthias is actually doing something called Making a Living on Monday nights. And I like to think that this show had something to do with that. We'll talk to him in the second hour. But first off, we will be right back after these messages. We're going to hear from our new sponsor, and then we'll be here for our first guest. So stick with us after these messages. We'll be right back. Do not go away. Okay, let's try this one second here. All right, none of this stuff is working, so I'm going to have to ask Ken to come on down and fix that. Let's go right to our first guest. Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, our first guest of the night, she is the apple of our eye. Just ask her because of her last name. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you at this time, she is Jamie Apple.
Hi, how are you?
How's it going, Jamie? Good to have you with us.
Oh, can you hear me still? Sorry, my phone cut out.
So how are you, Jamie? Good to have you.
I am doing phenomenal. How are you guys tonight?
Good. Here's what we're going to do here, Jamie. We're going to do a question session. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and then we'll do a roundtable, and then we'll come back to me and I'll ask you the tougher questions. But first off, if you want to give us a little background about yourself, then we'll talk to you.
I was born and raised in North Carolina, never really left, stuck here. Got into Haunt SFX in 2011, decided to have a family in there, and then decided to step back into SFX back in 2021, and, well, I guess the rest is kind of history.
Well, here's let's do this. Let's talk about some of the projects that that you've been involved in, and then we'll talk about those, and then we'll have my co-host ask you a few questions, and then we'll check that out. But, you know, according to IMDb.com, and if any of this information is inaccurate, just let us know. But according to this, it says you've got six projects in the works that are upcoming, Babe Mansion, Head on the Writer's Block, Killer Kong, Pay to Die, Amityville. Well, we can't really talk about those titles, but is that true that you have all this stuff coming up?
I do. A lot of that is actually completed filming and is now in the editing process. And
so,
there's three other projects that aren't there yet, so keep your eyes peeled for those.
And with all these that have been completed, how many more? You said you got three other projects on your docket. I'm just kind of curious, with all the stuff going on that you've completed and going into, how do you keep it all straight?
Lots of calendars and lots of help. It really is kind of a family business. My husband, he steps up and helps, and I have four kids that love to step up and help as well.
And, you know, I'll tell you what, if you ever need someone to work for free, maybe work for a couple hot dogs, I'm available.
Anytime. Hey, we have some really good hot dogs in North Carolina, I promise.
All right. Well, you know, when we go to my next co-host, you can ask him. I'm actually pretty good when it comes to working for hot dogs. We have Jamie Apples, our guest here. We got about 25 minutes here with Jamie. A few of the other projects that according to this, that you've been involved in, The Evil Three, Live, Laugh, Die, kind of like the show, the Third Channel, Bathtub Shark Attacks, Desperate Souls, Debbie Does Demons, Craving, The Wrong Guy, Demons of the Dawn. I do want to ask you about bathtub shark attacks. You know, they used to say the tagline, you thought it was safe to go back in the water, but now I guess it's not safe to go in the bathtub now either.
No, it's not. And Madeline Deering, she had an amazing concept with that. And when she put out her Indiegogo, I had to jump on as a producer and back the project. And it was just an amazing fun time with that movie. And I have, like, followed her success with that. And it's been beautiful. And I've been honored to be such a tiny part of such an amazing project.
And when all this stuff has taken place in 2023, and you've been doing, I guess, mostly producing, have you done any acting in these films?
I have. I actually began acting with Bobby Knight Jr. I was a police officer in the movie Woke. And then I also was a bartender in Desperate Souls, which is really funny because I'm actually, you know, not that kind of person. But anyway, and then I've also acted in a couple of other of Bobby Knight's that are not quite PG, so I'll leave it at that. But and we also have some others coming up, but we had one that we are actually going to be putting out soon that is actually geared toward kids, and I was kind of an extra in it, but it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. We have Jamie Apples, our guest here. We've got about 24 minutes here with Jamie. I'm going to introduce you to our first co-host, and then we'll bring on the second co-host. But first off, I want to introduce you to the director, Scott Hand. Scott, go ahead. What do you got? You're into films. What do you got for our first guest? Go ahead.
Hi, Jamie. The Third Channel, I think. Was that one of your pictures, the Halloween 3 fan film?
I was one of the producers on it. I bought in as a producer again on the Indiegogo to help them out.
I see. Okay. Now, talk about the Indiegogo thing, because I think most of the pictures you do are crowdfunded, right?
Yeah, they are. A lot of the production credits I have are crowdfunded. And I don't just try to jump on the first project I see. I try to, like, find directors that have got work out there and that have shown that they're putting movies out and not just there to say, hey, give me your money, and then they're gone. Crowdfunding is a good way for the independent film community to make money and help each other.
Now, how does that work, you know, when you get on the Indiegogo? How do those campaigns work?
Okay, so what will happen is if you want to buy into an Indiegogo, say you want to be part of this film production, a lot of directors or whoever is going to be head of their Indiegogo campaign will set up their perks, and you'll pay a certain amount of money for a perk. Sometimes you'll just get a special thanks perk, which I know you guys see that on IMDb. There's, you know, a lot of special thanks perks. Then you can get physical media if you don't want a credit. You can buy in as, you know, you can pay a more, you know, a higher amount and become a producer, and there are different levels for that.
But yet, now, do you have to do a pre-campaign before that you actually launch the campaign? Like, I've heard different stories about Indiegogo, how that works. A friend of mine's actually starting a project, and he was talking about he's in pre-campaign right now.
Yeah, and I've seen people that when they do the pre-campaign, their campaigns tend to be more successful, because the more you're getting your campaign out there, the more people are sharing and seeing it, and they're like, wow, this is a pretty cool project.
Now, do you have to do that in different phases, though, like when you raise money? Because I know there's one filmmaker, this is a few years ago, he had a couple of different campaigns for the same movie he was getting produced. He did get it made, but I noticed he had, like, a phase one, and then he had, like, a phase two.
Some people do, depending on what they want their budget to be. They'll put up their first campaign, like a beginning funding, and they'll do their first unit of filming, and then they'll do their second campaign and do their second unit of filming. I've seen them do it that way. But I've also seen directors decide, hey, we're just going to do it all at once. You know, it's make it or break it. We're going to do it regardless. This is how much we're going to do it for, so let's make it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, you were saying you found that the people that do the pre-campaigns are more successful. Why would you say that is?
I think with the pre-campaign, if you're showing some behind-the-scenes beforehand stuff, you're getting, you know, the crew together beforehand and you're showing people this, they're seeing, you know, more work than just, hey, we're going to do this film, give us money. You know, it's kind of like instead of doing a whole book and presentation on it, it's kind of all that there in one with the Indiegogo, and you can add to that throughout the whole campaign, you know, like as you add cast, as you add crew, people that may draw you in. It's really fun.
How about the distribution end of things? How do you handle that?
How do you handle what?
The distribution of the films.
Oh, I don't handle that. I never have. That terrifies me because there are so many shady distributors out there now.
Right.
And there's actually, you can look it up on Facebook. There's a whole group dedicated to that. Check it out. It gives a lot of information of who to steer clear from.
Okay.
Jamie Apple is our guest here on 89.1 Ken's FM. I want to introduce my other co-host. He goes by the Big Swing. And I know that one of his favorite projects of yours was Demons of the Dawn, The Wrong Guy, and Craving. So, Big Swing, what do you got for our guest, Jamie Apple? Go ahead.
Well, I did like a couple of them. But my thing was I always like to get to know our guests from a – you know, from a personal standpoint. I know Scott's, you know, actually in films and does that stuff, so he'll know a lot of the technical and have a lot of the technical questions for you about the business. But in terms of you yourself, kind of what led you down this road? What made you want to get into films? Was there something inspirational for you when you were younger that you saw and said, oh, man, you know, I want to do that, and that's something that I think I can do? Kind of take us down the road that led you to where you're at right now.
Gotcha. Well, brutally honest, I didn't have a great childhood. I was always the imaginative child that was trying to get out of their own head. Some of my favorite movies were like Labyrinth, Dark Crystal, things like that. And, you know, from an early age, you know, my parents were always open to, well, you can watch whatever you want. I was watching Nightmare on Elm Street when I was 5 years old. So I didn't really have a fear of those kind of things. And I wanted to figure out how to do it, but I wasn't at a point where I could. There was a local haunt, and 1 year, I was actually almost 28 when I decided to jump into it. And I went at this haunt. Yeah, I went and worked at a haunt, and it spiraled from there. And I took a couple of years off and began running an entire nonprofit haunted attraction. Then after that, I decided, well, how far could I take this? Why stop here? My kids are almost grown. How far can I go with this? So that's kind of what led me down this path.
So you've always sort of been a horror fan, at least, though. And like you said, with the haunted attraction, like you chose to want to do that because you've always enjoyed maybe that genre or that style.
Yeah, definitely the darker side. I was never never the Disney princess girl.
I hear you. No, I like the darker stuff personally, so it's pretty cool that, you know, you were able to get involved in that. And, you know, I love myself a good haunted house every once in a while as well. So if you're, you know, if you're into that as well, that's even cooler.
Yeah, I actually currently do run a local haunted house now every fall.
Where is it?
It's in a little town called Burlington, North Carolina. I run it at our local minor league baseball stadium called the Burlington Sock Puppets, and it's a community thing we do every year. It's called the Haunted Stadium. I decorate the locker room. I do all the tunnels, everything. It is so much fun.
That's awesome. See, I love a good haunted house, and, you know, in upstate New York, there's a couple of good ones, but there's not a lot of options in general, in total. So, yeah, no, see, that's awesome. I think we might have to make a road trip this fall.
Well, you know, I think we all should.
Yeah. For sure.
Jamie, you think you could get some passes?
Yeah. if you guys want to come, I actually, we do a lot of filming at my place, and we actually have campers for accommodations.
Look at that. There we go. I'm sold.
Hey, you know, Scott, that might be a good inspiration for one of the films that we've been talking about wanting to do. Right there at her haunted house.
Well, I'm always down for ideas, always down for ideas.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, the cool thing about this, Jamie, is, a lot of the stuff in AMDV, you got executive producer, associate producer, producer. Could you give us a little breakdown of what's the difference between an associate producer, executive producer, or just a regular producer? I'm guessing one, you get to tell people more what to do in one role compared to the other. Could you give us a breakdown of those?
Don't laugh, because I can't tell you.
Okay.
I myself don't know all the breakdowns. I usually go into projects like this with a budget and say, this is what I can help you with. And they'll give me whatever credit they feel I've earned.
Well, does one title make more money than the other?
No, I don't think so. Well, it may in the bigger film industry, but in the indie film industry, a lot of us producers don't even make money back on our films in the end of it all.
That's cool. Now, you mentioned that you got three projects that you're working on now. I'm guessing you really can't talk about those right now, right?
Well, I can talk about two of them. I'm actually headed up to Virginia next weekend with, I don't know if you guys know her, a sweet little girl named Angel Bradford. She's my bestie. We are headed up to Virginia. We're going to be filming with Matt Burns, doing Head on the Writer's Block, the last block of that. And then actually coming, I think we're going to be starting June, will be Night of the Strangers with Bobby Knight Jr. That will be filming here at my place.
You know, as a matter of fact, you know, Miss Bradford, you know, she was a guest on our show maybe 6 months ago now, she had mentioned having you as a guest on our show. As a matter of fact, we had her April 18th of 2022 is when we had her on. So she was on a year ago. It's amazing that it's been a year since she was on with us.
You know, I actually have a funny story about Angel. She and I did not like each other in the beginning. I had heard some crazy things about her and did not use my own head. But after meeting her, we met on the set of Mothman. And I walked right up to her and I said, I need to ask you something. I said, did you do this, this, or this? And she said, no. And I, you know, talked to her about it, and now we haven't looked back. We've been best friends, inseparable since. I actually just saw her 2 weeks ago.
That's awesome. Jamie Apple's our guest here, so we don't forget about this, Jamie. If our fans want to check you out and see, do you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok? What do you got?
I have actually got Facebook and Instagram, and you can just look me up on either one of those. It's JamieApple83.
All right. And with all the projects, you know, you mentioned you got three projects going now. How many more projects do you plan on wanting to get involved in before the end of the year and into 2025?
Honestly, I was going to limit myself to four this year, but really good projects. Directors keep coming and saying, hey, I need you for SFX. I need you for this role. But the one with Bobby, I'm really excited about. I actually have, you know, one of the, I guess you call, co-lead roles, and it's pretty exciting. I'm ready for that one. And I'm going to be helping do SFX, so that's going to be a lot of work. But I think I just received the script for three more, so that's at least six possibly on the docket for this year.
That's awesome. We have Jamie Apples, our guest here. We've got about 11 minutes. And for those of you who listen to our Facebook page, for those of you who listen to our show on a regular basis, if you go to our Facebook page, as you air Monday, live Monday, like that, go to 89.1 Ken's FM page, like that, do a $10 a month donation to the Power of the Tower. We'll get you automatically qualified to win an autographed picture from past guests, current guests, future guests. Now, I do believe, Jamie, I do believe you have sent us some, or you are going to send us a few, I think.
I'm going to get you some because I had to wait on my new headshots to come in, and I didn't want to send the old ones because they were outdated.
That's right. Okay, gotcha. And then one other thing I was going to ask you about, you know, in the, on your promo picture on IMDb.com, one thing that sticks out in my mind is you got, like, incredible fingernails. Is there a story behind those?
No, I like having longer nails, but when I'm doing makeup, I do take them off just for safety, and I don't want to poke anybody's eye out. But generally, if I'm not on a set, I will do my nails.
I was just kind of curious about that because it's just like they look long. It's like I don't think I'd ever want to mess with you in public with with those things on your hand.
Yeah, they can be dangerous. They're weapons.
You know, another project I want to ask you about, Amityville Ripper. It seems like more than a plethora, whatever that word is, of guests that we've had on has done a project that had something with Amityville in the name. Let me ask you this: is that something that's because it's popular? Do you think it's overused, or was it just a coincidence that you were involved in an Amityville project?
Okay, so I think it's on Tubi now. If it is, I will double check that, but I'm pretty sure it is on Tubi. Go check
that
one out because our director Bobby came up with that, and it was more of the reason he came up with it is because it has been overused. There are so many Amityville movies out there. Some are good, some are bad, some are horrible. And we wanted to have fun with it. And we did. We had a great time. That was one of the best sets I've worked.
And another project I want to ask you about is Head on the Writer's Block. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
That's the one I have coming up next weekend with Angel. I can't tell you a whole lot about it because they haven't released a whole lot about it. So, but just keep your eyes peeled. It's going to be a lot of fun with that one.
The reason I was asking is like, I know it's not him, but on the cover of the movie, you know, you got this guy in the corner with a goatee. When I looked at it, I'm like, at first, maybe I thought you were using Vince Russo as a model, and if you were, I would definitely tell you to pick somebody else other than him.
Yeah, no, I don't think they were using him as a model.
Okay. That's a good thing because he will tear your project to shreds, and that's something we can talk about later. Jamie Apples, our guest here on 89.1 Ken's FM. We got about 5 minutes left with Jamie. So with all the stuff that you've done and that are doing and going to be doing, what is the longest time you've ever been on involved in a project, and what was it? And what was the shortest time you've been involved in a project, and what was it?
Actually, the shortest time I was in, we'll start with shortest because that one's the first one on top of my head. Shortest project was literally 3 hours. I had to do a disembowelment, and that was it. It took me, you know, an hour, and we were done. And that was literally my first project. It was a short that I did. And the longest time I've been involved in a project is actually my own personal project that hasn't been released yet that we are still working on. and I don't have a lot of public details about it yet, but it's going to be a heart project, and we're in it for about a year and a half now.
So, let me ask you this. When do you have, like, a time frame on when you want to have this completed, or when you'll be like nailing it down?
Probably, it's at least another year. This is what I'll tell you, we are doing a full animatronic creature, at least 6.5 feet tall. So we're building it from the ground up.
Wow. And now, are you going to be looking for extras and actors for this project?
Actually, we have the cast already nailed down. I knew who I wanted to play the roles when we started the script.
Okay. Now, what I would like to do, though, when you guys, when you're ready to release this or ready to promote it, we would like you to come back on the show, and we would love to help you promote that.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to come talk to you guys anytime.
You know, because we love ha- – I mean, don't go away. I mean, we've still got about 5 minutes left. But let me ask you this. What if you could give advice to someone that wanted to get into producing and get into making their own projects and making their work, so to speak, come true, what advice would you give?
Honestly, start small. Start small so you can see visually what you're working with, what you can achieve on camera. Start with a short, 5-10 minutes, edit it, complete it, and then you have a small reel to show prospective investors, you know, that this is what I can do. Don't try to jump in both feet first because it's overwhelming.
And would you also go with the old cliche, don't ever take no for an answer?
Oh, yeah, that too. Be persistent. If you're not doing something up to par, fix it. You know, work on it, correct it, and then come back and be more persistent. Don't ever take no. If you've got your eyes on something, keep going for it.
And let me ask you this. If somebody wanted to you know, reach out to you and get advice on doing fundraising for a project to get something off the ground, would you be willing to give your knowledge, so to speak, to those that are trying to get something like that done?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. If anybody's interested, I can tell you what I know from the campaigns I've helped work on.
And would you be able to give some leads, too?
What do you mean, like leads for investors?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, with crowdfunding, that one's easy. You just put it out there and you share it, and the investors come to you.
Awesome. I like that. Well, I'll tell you what, we will definitely probably be talking more often now, and I know what fans are thinking. It's like, did you give the icon your phone number? Well, of course you did. But I stopped calling her at 2 in the morning. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But, you know, I'll tell you what, Jamie, you have been awesome. We do love you very much, and we thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join us. Let me ask you this. You mentioned that you got three projects coming. What does your day look like? What does the rest of the week look for you? Are you going to be on set? Are you going to be writing? What are you going to be doing the rest of the week?
Actually, this week I'm off until Saturday, and then I hit the studio and I make all the prosthetics for next week's shoot.
That's awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, Jamie, you have been so awesome. We love you. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be with us, and we are definitely going to have you on again.
Sure. Thanks for having me, guys. Love you guys.
All right. Be safe, Jamie. Thank you so much.
All right. Good night.
All right. That was Jamie Apple, ladies and gentlemen, and that was an awesome interview. We're waiting for our next guest to call in, and when she calls in, we'll go to her. But before we do that, we need to take a couple commercial breaks. We need to make up for the commercial that we missed and also the commercial that we're going to take at this time. So we'll be back after these messages, so stick with us. We'll be right back. And we are back here at 89.1 Ken's FM. And I thought our next guest was there, and apparently they dropped off, so hopefully they'll call back. Big Swing, do I still got you? I don't have Big Swing either. Scott, do I have you?
You do. I'm here.
All right, cool. So I guess we'll just wait for our next guest to call in. We're waiting for our next guest, who is scheduled on the docket. It's Kelly A. Bishop, so we'll wait for her to call back, and then we'll go to her. But so, Scott, what did you think of Jamie Apple? That was kind of interesting information.
Yeah, seems like a decent woman. Yeah, she does, yeah. Yeah, like I said, Dean, now I do know that I don't normally do the crowdfunding thing, you know.
Right.
But, you know, I've heard a lot. A friend of mine is already in pre-campaign, so he's been sort of telling me how things are going for his pre-campaign and what he's trying to get done. And he's going to be a guest on your show, I believe, in another month or so. So maybe by that point he'll have actually launched his campaign and have something to talk about when you have him.
Right, exactly. Apparently Big Swing had to go. I mean, I know that he's got a new little one at home, so, you know, that does kind of take precedent.
Right.
And
sure.
We'll just wait for our next guest to call, and hopefully she'll call in soon.
And she has an illustrious career as well?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And we're going to talk to her about that when she calls in.
Okay.
I say, I thought she was there, I don't know what happened. And, you know, we have been having some issues with the phone system here. So
yes.
It's one of those things that, you know, when you have technical difficulties, you know, you deal with it every day and you just try and, you know, pull forward and just kind of move with it. But anyway, let's until she calls in, hopefully it'll be soon. Let's kind of talk a little bit about what else that you've been up to lately. I know that one thing that we kind of touched on here sparingly a little bit is, you know, the way I understand, you're a pretty good cook, aren't you?
Yeah, I like to think so. Yeah, in fact, I'm going to be hosting one of those dinners this weekend. Mm-hmm. I've got that coming up.
Are you having are you having eggplant parmesan and
I think we're going to be dealing with a pork sauerkraut, you know, with potatoes, you know, and some fresh vegetables and all. I think that's what we're looking at on Friday. Yeah, I've got people coming here.
You know, the sad thing is, when I agreed to do your picture working for hot dogs, I guess I should have agreed to get paid in your cooking. I think I missed the boat on that.
Yeah, well, wait till I send you the picture of the cake I'm baking. Wait till you see that.
All right. I'll tell you what, Scott, if you want to chat a little bit, I'm going to try and get a hold of our guest, and then I will just kind of tell us a little bit more about some of the exotic stuff that you can cook, and I'll be back.
Well, I basically had an interest in culinary arts all my life. My aunt that I grew up with, she was in the house with me. She was a professional chef and baker, and, of course, I loved her cheesecakes. So as a child, she would always have me there with her, and she'd put me up on the counter, and I would always be watching her make this New York-style cheesecake. And then as the years would go on, she would make all these other cakes that I would end up loving. And so it kind of started with baking, and then, you know, as you get older, you know, the sweets are great, but, you know, you get very interested in other things too, you know. So that's basically where my love comes from, whether it's, you know, eggplant franchise or, you know, it's going to be, you know, rigatonis, you know, an Italian meal, spaghetti and meatballs, you know, I'm all about that. So, yeah, that would be my culinary skills. You know, it's something I like to practice and keep up on, and I like to find new recipes to dabble with from time to time and have some people over to sample and see if make sure I'm doing it right.
And, you know, with that being said, you know, to be honest, well, I guess I'm not ashamed to admit this because it's just one of those things. I'm not a very good cook. I mean, I, you know, I don't cook. My wife doesn't cook. But local restaurants seem to like me when I stop in there because, you know, they always serve food and stuff that I can't make that I wish I could, but I can't. But, you know, I mean, I can make spaghetti. I can make eggs. I found out that I was pretty good at making pierogies. I made that this weekend.
Mm-hmm. But, homemade, you know, pierogies yourself?
Well, no, they were, you know, the kind that you get out of a box and you put into the,
nice.
You know.
Okay. Well,
you didn't
mash up the potatoes and make the, you know, the put it all together and then fry it up.
Right. I'm not that exotic yet, but I'd eventually like to be. but, you know, it's one of those things. My philosophy is if I can make dinner and not burn down the kitchen, it was a successful project that I've involved myself into.
I see.
So,
well, hey, there's nothing wrong. You know, you start small, you know, so the bacon and eggs with toast and, you know, cut up a couple of eggs, put that on the pan, fry them up, get them nice, you know, and that's how you start. You know, breakfast is usually the easiest thing to make. That's a good way to start, and then you move over into lunch, and then once you get to that point, then you start slowly heading into the dinner menu.
And you mentioned all the stuff that you were able to that you make and you learned how to make. Do you have like a favorite like a recipe that like everybody when they come over, like, hey, you're going to make this, aren't you? Do you have one of those type of dishes?
I got a few of them, actually. I get a few. Some of them are very simple ones. Like, one of the ones I'll get hit a lot with, I make my own spaghetti sauce. All right, so, I mean, it's not ragu or anything like that. I start with tomatoes, crush the tomatoes, and I usually make it the day before the meal. So, when I have my spaghetti at home, and I do make homemade meatballs as well, that seems to be a big one. And then you'd be surprised, Sometimes it's little stuff like pork and sauerkraut, you know. I mean, I don't really consider anything all that magnificent that I do there, but they like the gravy, I guess, that I make. I don't know. So, but that seems to be one.
That all sounds good, though. I mean, that sounds pretty good, though. I mean, I would love to have that kind of talent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, I don't know if you heard me. I mean, I grew up with, you know, my aunt in the house, and she was, you know, she was a professional chef and baker. You know, so it started out with the cheesecakes, you know, the New York cheesecakes, which, you know, I can make three different cheesecakes. You know, I can do an Italian-style cheesecake, I can do the New York cheesecake, you know. And then, of course, there's also some, you know, cakes like the chocolate amaretto tort cake. You know, that's definitely a big one. When I make that, everybody seems to want to come over, and, you know, one cake isn't enough half the time. Everybody wants two or three slices. So, you know <it's, laughs>
You know, it'd be really cool though if there's a way that that you can make the sub and then ship it.
I actually do that. I have a client. I have somebody that orders cakes.
Well, the reason why I asked that is because, you know, I love a good spaghetti sauce, and you know, you mentioned that you can make spaghetti sauce. I would.
That's
well,
kind of
I'm sure I'm eventually when we're together, I'll eventually get to try that. And I hate to say this and admit this, but if you invite me over for dinner, you're probably not going to have to worry about any leftovers because, I'll look for the sign that says all you can eat here. And if I don't see that sign,
so
I'll
words,
want
to when,
with
when
me.
You're here, I'll have to triple up on the spaghetti and meatballs. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, definitely. 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 I mean, I love a good spaghetti. I mean, I'm Norwegian, so I love Norwegian mm-hmm. food, but, you know, it is what it is.
You
I'll
like manicotti?
Right. Oh, yeah. Of course, you know, my favorite Norwegian dishes are rummagrout. That's a great breakfast food. And mm-hmm. I love Norwegian pancakes. Those are pancakes that are circle instead of flat.
Mm-hmm.
And lefse is also number one on my serving table every time I eat a Norwegian stuff.
Crab cakes.
Yes. And there's a restaurant blank famous seafood, and that's where I've had the best crab cakes in the world. I used to be I order from this individual, and they'll send them to us. And I can't say it on the air because they're not an advertiser, but it's something famous seafood, and it's really awesome. But I'll tell you what, our next guest is waiting in the wings. Our second guest, I don't know what happened. We'll try and catch up with her later on. But we're going to take our top-of-the-hour break. We'll be back with our next guest, so stick with us right after these messages. Do not go away. Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, our guest at this time, ladies and gentlemen, he is the one, he is the only, he is Mark Hadley.
Hey, this is Mark Hadley. You're listening to the Attitude Era Monday, live Mondays on 89.1 KINS FM. Your host are the icon with the big swing, also featuring Scott the Director Hand and the modern nightmare Matthias.
Well, how are you, Mark? Good to have you with us. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, great to be here. Thank you.
You know, here's how we're going to do this, Mark. I'm going to ask you a few questions, then we'll do a roundtable, then we'll come back to me and I'll ask you the tougher questions. But, you know, one thing I do want to ask you real quick, and I don't know if you've ever been asked this or not, but, you know, I made you that cool little collector's card, you know, where you got the hat and, with that picture, I was going to say, you could have been Chuck Norris's stunt double with that look.
I'm sorry you broke up. I didn't hear after the hat. I'm sorry, I don't hear anything.
Can you hear me now?
Very, very faintly.
That's weird. Let's see.
Really, really difficult to hear.
Yeah, I can barely hear him as well. He's very, like, almost muted.
All right, is that better?
Not really.
Well, I'll tell you what, Scott, well, why don't we do this? Let's start with you. If you want to go and ask some questions, then we'll, after I figure out what's going on, I will we'll come back to me. So, Scott, go ahead. If you want to ask some questions, go ahead.
I can barely hear what he's saying. Is he telling me to go first?
Yes.
You know, Scott, I think that's what he said, but it was just
Mark,
as difficult
I can barely
for me.
Hear him. Yeah, I can't hear him myself. Yeah, how you doing, Mark?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah, now you're a movie producer or you're special effects? What is it that you do, Mark?
No, I produce, and I'm an actor, and I executive produce.
Okay. Now, when you produce the films, is this predominantly crowdfunded films?
Not necessarily. We have some investors we deal with, but I also deal with other directors and such as an actor, and they do a lot of crowdfunding.
I see. Yeah, I'm a film director myself, writer, you know, writer, producer, actor, and I have not done any crowdfunding. Everything that I've done so far has been through private equity. That's normally how I've been working. Now, where are you based out of, Mark?
Out of Redondo Beach, California.
Okay. Yeah, I'm over in New Jersey.
Yeah. Yeah. I was there a couple years ago.
Oh, really? Yeah, now, was that for work or you were just visiting?
So I was inducted into a Martial Arts Hall of Fame, and they held a celebration at the Tropicana.
Oh, okay. Now, the movies that you normally do you have, like, a favorite genre that you go to normally, or it doesn't matter?
It doesn't really matter. You know, it all depends on the storyline. I've done sci-fi. I've done horror. Got an action film coming up, couple action films. I've got to have another horror coming up. So, yeah, it's pretty much across the spectrum.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, normally I've always been used to writing on spec, you know, but right now I found myself I'm in a different position right now. I've got a few producers that are hiring me to write a screenplay for them, you know, based on the ideas that they have. So it's a little, I'm going through a different kind of process on writing that I'm not used to. Everything I've done up to this point has been on spec.
Got it.
Yeah, so you know how that goes. You have the Zoom meetings on a regular basis, and, you know, you can't proceed just as you normally do because they want to go over everything and hear your feedback on it and find out how you're going to connect things. And, you know, it's different. It's a lot easier, you know, writing. I've always found writing on spec where, you know, being alone and just trying to figure everything out, you know, it's just me doing it.
Well, I kind of know how that goes, but, yeah, I have a film that's an action film. It's about cartel and kung fu, if you can picture that mix up there. But I originally wrote the script, and then I hired it out to do a rewrite. The director of it is he's also a really talented writer. I'm going to do a couple of his other movies. And so it's all ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the pictures I'm working on, we keep going back and forth with various people. It's the one that Icon's involved with called The Black Tent. I've been working on that for probably about 2 years. You know, I've written many drafts of the screenplay, you know, and somebody came along recently and just wants to buy the script off, you know, just to purchase it and, I guess, you know, take it and do their own thing. But I'm not really looking to do this. It's kind of one that once you're on it for a couple of years, you know, you're so sold on your own vision, you know, you don't really want anybody else to do it. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. It's the film that I have, it's an action film. It's coming up here probably the latter part of this year. It's something that I've been working on for a while, and I have my own visions on this one, and it's really it's a good, tight script, and I just I couldn't see it in anyone else's hands.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, Mark, you know, I've been writing several drafts just on The Black Tent. And, you know, when you're writer-director, you know, and you're picturing everything and who you want in certain roles and how you want it and how it's going to look and how it's going to be lit and how the sets are going to look and what kind of lighting and what color lighting you want, how the music's going to go and, you know, and how, you know, the kills are going to go. Because this is a monster movie. You know, it's a monster movie that I like monster movies. I grew up, you know, in the classics, you know, the Universal movies and the Hammer horror movies, you know, the Christopher Lee Dracula movies and all, you know.
Oh, yeah, I remember them quite well.
Are you guys able to hear me now?
Yeah, we
got
you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah.
All right. Our resident engineer fixed my issue. I don't know what it was, but he just came and hit two buttons and I'm back on. So I guess we're good. So there you go. We have Mark as our guest here on 89.1 Ken's FM. We got plenty of time with Mark. I'm going to ask you a few things about some of your movies, and I want to kind of do a deep dive into martial arts because there's a few questions I have to ask about that. You know, one thing I do want to ask you about, some of the movies that you've been involved in, Clown Motel 2, we've had a lot of actors from that show on, from that movie here, The Boss Man, Xenophobia, Resurgence, The Long Ride, Fire in My Heart, and you got a couple upcoming, Call 911 and Pop 420 Adventure. Are you able to talk about any of those, the ones you got upcoming?
I could talk about Clown Motel 3. That's going to be shot this year. I could talk about one we have. It's about three-quarters of the way finished. It's a horror movie. It's called Clowny. It is not released yet. Certainly could talk about Xenophobia. Could talk about just about anything I've done in the past.
All right. Well, you mentioned that you're going to be doing Clown Motel 3, and you did Clown Motel 2. Did they just think of how much better Clown Motel 1 would have been if you would have been in that one, too?
Hey, I concur. You know, the thing is, in Clown Motel 2, it looked as if I was killed in that film, but a lot of people were surprised to hear me coming back for number 3. They said, well, you were in the cave. The cave collapsed on you, but it didn't kill me, you know?
So coming back for the third.
That's the joy of horror films. You can always come back. We can always find a way to bring a character back.
I thought it was a really, really fun project as well, you know. So I'm looking forward to hanging with the cast again and Joseph Kelly, the director of the film and writer, and just having a good time, you know. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Putting out a decent product and, you know, just having fun while you're doing it. Life's so short. You got to have fun.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, and because, you know, we're PG language, there's a couple of movies that you've been involved in that we can't talk about. But one thing I do want to ask about is xenophobia. What is that, the fear of xylophones or what?
No. Xenophobia is about alien abductions. What it is, it's three different directors. It's five different stories. And it's kind of like, I guess, Creepshow, something like that. It has the different stories in the film. And mine is the very last one. I think it's pretty, you know, I mean, it's you know, it's my segment, but I think it carries that whole movie. It was really turned out well. And it's called The Sullivan House with Kelly Ryder, and and Thomas Churchill directed that one.
I'll look for
You know, a couple other things involved in your credit. You know, not only do you do acting, but you also do producing. Do you prefer to do one over the other?
You know, I love in front of the camera. I love to act. But I also like putting this big puzzle together and doing the producing end of it as well. But not so much as acting, you know. I mean, I'm really, just an actor at heart.
And, you know, the one question that I asked you at the beginning, you know, that I made you that cool little collector's card and that picture of you I used on the card, you know, you could have been Chuck Norris's stunt double.
You know what? I hear a lot of people say that. I said, my God, in this picture, you really look like Chuck Norris. And that's interesting that you say that. I do get that a lot.
Well, and I want
to bit older than me.
Well, I understand if you don't want to ask this, because I want to get into martial arts, and I understand if you don't want to ask this, but you could probably take him, right?
Nah, I have too much respect for Chuck to even think about that.
Well, let me ask you about martial arts. How long have you been into martial arts?
About 37 years.
And I'm guessing you're like, 10th degree black belt or something like that?
I'm a Sifu. A Sifu is like a sensei. You know, a traditional kung fu. The belt system really didn't apply. That's an American thing. Over here, everybody wants, you know, to see, you know, their hard work pay off by another rank. And, you know, how the belt system came in from white to black is, you know, because my system is Thai Mantis, Praying Mantis, and Northern Shaolin Kung Fu. But they used to wear the white sash, and the thing is, you never wash the sash. So over time, over decades, the sash discolors. It becomes gray, and then it becomes black from just age. And therefore, that's really how the white to black belt came into play in the and the kung fu lineup. But it's something. But yeah, I achieved black belt in 1994. And in 2002, I achieved the rank of Sifu.
So is there certain rules, like because you're trained in martial arts and kung fu, you know, and like I say, I'll say if you don't want to answer this question, but let's say that you're in a bar or something and someone comes up and, you know, for some reason, he doesn't know that you're a black belt or into kung fu or whatever, and he decides that he wants to take a fight, so to speak. Do you have to be careful using your skills on someone like that? You know, because I think about the movie Con Air, you know, what happened to Nicolas Cage at the beginning of the movie. Is that an actual thing or not really?
Not really. I mean, you know, what they have to watch out for is just the individual. As far as all the, you know, he's a black belt, he's got a register hand, you know, you hear all that stuff, but none of it comes into play. I'm sorry, something's wrong with your audio.
Yeah, so what are you going again?
Is that better?
Yes.
There you go.
All right. Our engineer is working on adjusting a few things to figure out what the issue is. But do you teach martial arts as well?
I taught for decades, but if I do now, it's just privates, or maybe I'll stunt coordinate for a film. I'm stunt coordinator on Clown Motel 2, and I had to show some, you know, kind of lay out some moves for some of the fight scenes and that. But, you know, it takes a huge commitment and a huge time commitment to teach. And I have so many other things going on in my life. I just don't have that time to dedicate that, you know, to teaching anymore. It wouldn't be fair at all to any students.
Well, with that being said, and all the, you know, you mentioned 30-plus years doing this, when you first started training, how difficult was it to get into doing the martial arts training and studying?
Well, it's a lifetime journey. I grew up in Ohio, just a country boy. And I always knew, you know, growing up watching the Kung Fu series, of course, and Bruce Lee, that I wanted to learn Kung Fu. But there was nothing back there, nothing that, you know, was offered in the way of martial arts. So when I migrated to California, lo and behold, down the end of the street that I lived on, there just happened to be a Thai man in this Kung Fu school. So I just walked in the door, signed up, and it's history from there.
That's awesome. Now, did you ever do any competition as well, or just do the training? And
I did some tournaments in the 90s, but it was, you know, it was just pretty much the grind of 3-4 day a week training, hardcore training too. My Sifu was unbelievably talented and skilled. And, of course, my grandmaster recently passed away, Dr. Cam Yuen. He was coordinator on the Kung Fu series, a stunt coordinator, and Circle of Iron with David Carradine. You know, he was really good friends with David Carradine. So I'm real happy about that. You know, it's a great lineage.
Did you ever get to meet David Carradine?
I've met David, yes.
That's awesome. Go ahead, sir.
My friend and my Kung Fu brother was really good friends with David, Rob Moses, Sifu Rob Moses, who also recently passed away. He was very, very good friends with David, but I wasn't close to David as a friend, just an acquaintance and meeting.
Well, you know, and this is just a little sidebar. Of course, you know, David's brother, Keith Carradine, is one of my big heroes from Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and
Don Gibb and Keith, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Ogre.
Yeah.
We have Mark as our guest here. We'll come back to martial arts, but I want to get some information from you, talk to you about producing. And if someone had a project and they wanted to come to you with a project and have you work on producing and whatnot, what would they have to do, and how could you help out with that?
Well, the first question I ask is if it's financed. Do they have the cash for it? If they're coming to me to procure cash, well, I have my own production company. I'll do that on my own for my own things, you know. But If they want me to come on as a producer, then they hire me on as a producer, an independent producer, and I help them take the film through completion.
That's awesome. So you mentioned the investing thing. What advice would you or what direction would you point somebody, if you want to come on as a producer and they need to do financing, what would you tell them? What would the best thing to do for the financing part of it then have you come on after that?
Well, that'd be contingent upon the budget, really. I mean, if it's a very high-budget film, I mean, you would probably want to have your own people lined up that have money and put money in films. Usually, if it's a smaller
budget
film, they're into crowdfunding, that's just – it could be grueling to try to get your complete budget through crowdfunding, but it's done all the time.
Scott, you had a question. Go ahead.
What would you consider to be a big budget project? You didn't give a number, but what would be like an idea of a number what you would consider to be high?
Well, it's not. I mean, if you're talking studio film or you're talking independent, If you have a $3 million budget on an indie film, that's a pretty good budget to get things done. You could pull in some good names.
What if it's less than a million?
It's less than a million. You could still get some names, and you could, make some offers, recognizable names to come in and do a cameo. I have a filmmaker friend out here. I mean, he had Robbie Krieger of The Doors in his film, and it was like a horror movie, and he killed him with a door. And it was really – he had Rob Halford do a cameo, the lead singer of Judas Priest. He pulls in a lot of these, not just from music, but, from movies, and he'll just hire him to do a cameo, half a day's work, and they're in the film. So,
One of the things, Mark, that I was talking to somebody that's been working on some Hollywood films, and they're doing some independence. They were talking about the difference between SAG and SAG low. Have you heard about this or no?
Oh, yeah. SAG low budget? Sure. Xenophobia was SAG low budget.
Okay. So then they come on for a lower price than the usual studio film, right?
That's correct. Yeah. I was executive producer on one of them on Xenophobia, and it was done with a modest budget, and for what it is, it turned out pretty good.
The thing I find interesting is, what was that little movie called, Skimmerink? They made it for what, $4,000, and then ended up making $2 million. Did you see that one?
I haven't seen it, but that, you can also go back to Robert Rodriguez's films. You remember El Mariachi,
that first one.
It was like $7,500 that he shot it with. I mean, he used shopping carts as dollies, and he got really creative, and then he took it over to back then, I believe it was Columbia, and they put, I think, a couple million dollars in the post and, beefed it up and then did some advertising on it, put it out there, so... What could be done, you have to be creative in this business. You have to be really, really creative.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I think representation has a lot to do with it as well, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, I think representation has a lot to do with it. That's something that I think gets overlooked by a lot of people.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that factor into getting them done, and that's certainly a big one right there.
Yeah.
We have Mark as our guest here on 89.1 Ken's FM. For those of you who listen to our show on a regular basis, if you go to our Facebook page, Attitude Era, Monday Live Monday, like that, go to 89.1 Ken's FM page, like that, do a $10 a month donation to Power of the Tower. We'll get you automatically qualified to win an autographed picture from a past guest, current guest, or future guest. And I do believe, Mark, that you are working on sending us a few, or you have sent us a few. I cannot remember.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. I'm working on what?
Well, yeah, you were going to send us a few autographs for giveaways?
Yeah. I have some to send out to you. I'll get the address, and I'll get those right out.
Awesome. Now, one thing I do got to ask you about, then we're going to go back to martial arts, but is it true that you used to, like, do infomercials, like selling hot tubs and stuff? Is that true?
Well, I've done my share of infomercials, but I've done a lot of television commercials. I haven't done as many infomercials as I have television commercials, but way back when, I've certainly done my share.
Well, because someone wanted me to ask you about they thought that they didn't know if it was and I don't know if this is true or not, but they wanted me to ask you about this. You used to do commercials where you would sell hot tubs.
No, let me see. What would they be? I remember a product. It was not a hot tub. I think it was more like an infomercial, but it was a jacuzzi tub. Walk-in bathtub is what it was. You walk in, you shut the door, sit down, and then start filling it up, and it expands. So it was a walk in and out of bathtub instead of stepping over. I think that may be what they were referring to.
Yeah, they mentioned that you had black hair in that commercial.
Brown.
Brown hair, okay. All right. Apparently whoever said that was colorblind. we have Marcus, I guess. We still got plenty of time here. I want to I know we're kind of jumping all around here, but I want to go back to the martial arts. One thing I did learn about you is that you are a member of at least, what, 4 Martial Arts Hall of Fames? Is that correct?
Yeah, at least 4, and then I have my own honor day at the Martial Arts History Museum that just relocated in Glendale, California.
And when you get inducted in the Hall of Fame, do they give you like a big trophy or a big plaque? Because I'm kind of trying to picture what your man cave must look like with all the trophies and all the tournaments and stuff that you've won. You must have a pretty impressive man cave with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I certainly have a few. Each one of them comes with a trophy, and then it comes with a nice plaque, and it's just, you know, it's really nice when you're recognized by your peers.
And when you find out that you're you obviously don't know that you're going to be the winner, right? Or do they are you like the Oscars or the Grammys? There's like 5 people up for the award, and then you get announced, or do you already know going into it that you're going to get the nod?
Yeah, I'm privy ahead of time.
That's really cool. And you mentioned that you have your own day. When is that, and what's involved in that, like when you have the day that you were talking about?
Well, it's, again, it comes with a big plaque, and it's an honor day at the Martial Arts History Museum. They have all the it's stocked with, you know, just the history of martial arts, from Japanese arts to, you know, arts from around the world. And, you know, they also have if you ever seen Kung Pao, they have the golfer chucks in there from that movie, and just a lot of things from various movies. David Carradine had his hat there that he wore in the Kung Fu series, and a lot of people will lend, you know, memorabilia to the museum, you know, for a certain amount of time, and then they will it will be given back to them after the agreed amount of time has passed. But it's something that is quite nice. It's been around, the museum has been around since 1999. The founder of the museum is Michael Matsuda, and it was in Burbank for quite a while, and he just recently got a new building, much, much bigger square footage-wise, which was certainly needed, and they relocated to Glendale, California. But it's a huge honor to be a part of the museum and to be recognized by the museum, because that's, you know, that's, I think, is more of an honor than really any Hall of Fame.
And for those that are listening, I'm sure there the main question that they want me to ask next is, you know, there's kung fu, there's jujitsu, there's karate. What is the main, if you can describe it, what is the main difference between all three of those, or is there not really a difference?
No, there's a substantial difference. Jiu-jitsu is ground fighting. Predominantly, the Gracies, the Gracie family has a ton of schools out here, and I think throughout the U.S. and Ohio, I believe there's one. You know, karate is it's certainly different than kung fu. A lot of the stances can be the same, but just the technique, the body movements, the katas versus the forms in kung fu. Kung fu is so fluid, and we use soft and hard. A lot of chi is cultivated. I mean, it's really deep. It took me probably 7 years, eight years just to get a black belt in Thai Manis Kung Fu.
That's cool. The other thing I was going to ask, do you have a favorite move that you do, jumping up in the air and then kicking a guy in the head and knocking him out? Do you have a favorite move that you do in martial arts?
Well, that would be good for movies. But in Kung Fu, it's a direct line, economy of motion. You know, you get in, you move rapidly, and you do what needs to be done. Generally, it's not, the high kicks and everything. You're going to find that in a lot more in Taekwondo. Really, if you can kick knee high, that's all you need to do. But certainly in Thai Mandis and Northern Shaolin, there are kicks. We have the same type, we have side kick, roundhouse kick, jump spinning kicks, but to utilize them in combat is not always necessarily the way to go. There are a lot other effective moves in that art that would be more appropriate.
And is there a favorite form of when you were doing the competition? Is there a certain type of competition that you like to get into, or is it basically all the same?
Well, I mean, it may vary, but my favorite move in Thai Mantis would be probably, it's called a triple pluck. And you're stepping in, you're using one mantis hook, and you're pushing the arm down. The second arm follows and pushes the arm down, and you come up with an elbow converting from a forward stance into a horse stance. So the elbow makes contact. Your opponent is he's going to sleep for a while.
That's awesome. I can just imagine you kicking somebody, then all of a sudden they're in dreamland for what, maybe 30, 40 minutes.
Well, I hope not that long, but it has happened where, the thing about society is, people will, of course, nowadays everybody knows a little of something, with the internet, and you have a lot of YouTube martial artists that society today, people will look at you and, a lot of, if you're out in a bar scene or something, you get a guy that's had a little too much to drink, they'll look at you and, it's like, well, he's certainly big enough for me to fight, but yet I think he's small enough for me to take. And, you just can't think like that nowadays. It's because you never know what the other guy knows, and to not always respect that, that could be detrimental to your health.
Well, I have a good defense move. If I have a guy coming at me from the west, I'm heading east. That's my best move.
Well, they say the best martial artist is the one that can walk away without an altercation happening.
Well, that's what they taught you, right? I mean, you get taught this to protect yourself. You don't get it taught to you, so you go pick fights, right?
That's absolutely right. Your arm as a practitioner, but you just hope you don't have to use it. It's like walking an open carry with a handgun. You have it there. If it's needed, it's needed, but you pray that you'll never have to use it.
Well, and I'll understand if you don't want to answer this question, but have you ever had to use it?
I have.
Well, would you be willing to elaborate or no?
Well, I was in a nightclub, and there was a guy that didn't take kindly to me just having a friendly chat with a girl that he was, you know, trying to put the moves on or liked or something. I don't know what their relationship was, but as I was walking out, he followed me out, and he made a big mistake.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, I know one thing, though. You know, if I were to ever see you in the bar, I'd come up and shake your hand and say, hey, nice to see you. I need a bodyguard. No, I wouldn't. I'm kidding. we have Mark as our guest here, and we still got plenty of time here. Now, I want to go kind of shift gears here a little bit, then we can come back to martial arts at the end. But I was going to want to shift gears about you doing stunts. You also do a lot of stunt coordinating, too, don't you?
Yeah, I've stunt coordinated films in the past. You know, I don't go out and actively try to become a stunt coordinator, but people know that I've done it. And, you know, it just sometimes when you're hired as a producer and you have other talents, you know, you fill the spot.
And is there you just do coordinating, you don't do the stunts yourself, right?
No, I've done a lot of stunts.
Do you have a favorite stunt that you like to do, like whether it be in a car or stuff like that?
I don't necessarily have a favorite stunt that I like to do. You know, mine was basically from fight scenes, you know, and leap falls. You know, I've done some cable work, and you know, but per se, like a specific stunt that I like, it's just it all just goes with the flow. Whatever is laid out for me to do, however the scene is structured.
Now, is there when you're picking a stunt or when you're asked to do a stunt, do you like break it down like? I'll do that one because I don't think that would hurt me. If I do that one, I'll probably end up with a couple of bruises. If I do that one, it's probably going to break my back. And, like, if I do that stunt, they're probably not going to – I'm probably going to be eating my food in a straw. Do you ever break stunts down like that?
Yeah, it has to be – each movement has to be broken down. And, of course, you want to be working with – yeah, a talented individual on the other side too, because if you're in a fight scene, you know, once the extremities are starting to be thrown, you want to make sure that they're thrown accurately, you know, where it fools the camera but keeps the distance from your face or where whatever they're, you know, supposed to be hitting. But yes, every movement, you know, has to be broken down, and that way, who's ever involved in this fight scene or this stunt is privy to how the entire stunt is, you know, comes from the beginning to the end, and there are no questions for anyone, and that's the way it should be, because people end up getting hurt when they become loose cannons and just not following direction.
Has there ever been a fight scene that you've been on to that something went awry?
Yeah. Clown Motel 2, something went awry on that. I was I coordinated a stunt with one of the other military guys, and it was one of the clowns that had a spike ball bat. And she came in to hit the other military guy who was down, and then I would come up with a kick and kick the bat as she was coming down to hit the other military guy. He would always have to lean back. We went through this time after time. We did so many takes. But on our last take, she came in with the bat, and instead of him leaning back out of the way so I could throw the kick and knock the bat out of her hands, he leans forward, and he got planted right on the side of the head with a boot.
Oh. And
immediately, blood gushed out of his nose, and it just, oh, it was horrible, you know. I felt so bad, but it wasn't my fault. I broke this down, and that's why you have to listen to the stunt coordinator, and you have to make sure that you do not deviate from what has been laid out and what you have practiced.
So it didn't turn into a situation like after that happened, because it was an accident, but you didn't have to worry about what they call in wrestling terms getting a receipt?
No, it was an accident. Everything was good. You know, he just ended up with a headache for a while once he got his bloody nose taken care of. He just nursed a little bit of a headache.
Oh man, that had to have been wild. We have Mark as our guest here, and we still got plenty of time here. You know, you mentioned that you have to have great rapport with the stunt coordinator, and when you're doing the stunts and everything. And you mentioned when you're doing a stunt, are you guys allowed to like practice it several times to make sure you have it down, or are you like expected to like nail it like in one or two takes?
No, it's imperative that you have it down. You go over it and over it and over it as many times that is needed. You know, when they're setting up different angles for the camera, you have ample time to sit there. As you know, making a movie is hurry up and wait. So you have a lot of time, you know, to go through these and make sure that you have it down and the other actors have down exactly what they're doing as well.
And when you're practicing the thing, you mentioned you did the take with the bat, but I'm guessing that probably doesn't happen very often though. Like, you know, you guys like practice it 25 times and then you have it perfect and then something happens.
Yeah, that's correct. Usually that does not happen at all. I can't even remember the last time that I made contact with someone's body that wasn't supposed to be made contact with. But I certainly remember that time.
That's awesome. Mark, let's kind of channel now a little bit also. We talked about some of your upcoming projects, and I know that you can't really talk much about them. But the one project that you can talk about, how long will you be on set for the project, and when is there an expected release date?
I have two films coming up that I'll be doing with director Thomas Churchill. One is called The Avenging Angel, where I play a pilot. I am a pilot, and I play an undercover cop, and that's one of the leads in the film. That's probably, for me, I think that would be about 6 or 7 days' work. And the other is a film called Waxman by the same director. That'll be coming out, or we'll be filming that this year. And then I have Clown Motel at the end of the year, and then I have a film that I wrote a while back and had a rewrite done on. It's called Mark of the Cobra. It's been around a while. I've taken that off the shelf and hope to make that this year. And then we have another Christmas movie planned, and I think that'll be a cap for this year. and we'll be ready to take on 2025.
And one other thing I was going to ask you about, on IMDb.com, that's where we get most of our information from. So if this information is inaccurate, fire them, not us. But one thing I do want to ask about, there's a project that says it's upcoming for you. It says Call 911, where you play a police officer, and it says it was done in 2008, but it says it's upcoming, but it was from 2008. Is that a misprint or a misnomer?
Be a misprint or something. I shot that. That was a television show I shot way back when.
Yeah, because it says 2008, and it says it's upcoming.
Yeah, that's not me. That's already done many years ago.
All right. So that just proves that IMDb is not exactly always accurate, but, they're also a good source of information. We talked about that, and we talked about Clowney, and you said you're working on that one now too, right?
Yeah, I have some pickup scenes to do. Most of it has already been shot. It's a couple fantasy type of scenes that the director has to go to New York and shoot those. I'm not involved in those scenes. And I've got the last rough edit sent to me by the editor. He's got about, an hour and 10 minutes edited now. So, they're working on that, and that's due to come out. And, just take them one at a time.
Do you have a release date for that one?
I don't, because I'm not the I'm not the one that is in charge of that. It's not my film. That's also a Joseph Kelly movie. But I don't have the specific release date. It's probably in 2025. Well, it will be, but I just don't know when. I know that the fantasy sequence scenes haven't even been shot yet, so. They'll get shot, and then it'll continue editing and get all the music and hopefully come out in 2025, maybe by summer.
And, you mentioned Clown Motel 3. That you're working on now as well, correct?
Yeah, but that's in that's not in production yet. So I'm
At 2025 then coming up?
And that'll come out in 2025, yeah. I'm going to ride my Harley-Davidson to South Dakota for a Sturgis motorcycle rally and come back and shoot that one.
Well, hey, let me ask you this. We're actually in North Dakota, and as in North Dakota, we know our arch rival is South Dakota State. When you're coming through, maybe you can stop by and see us.
Yeah, possibly. I try to ride South Dakota every year.
And I used to know what Sturgis was because I went there a couple times for a Hog Wild for WCW. When is Sturgis again?
It starts August 1st.
Okay. And it goes
and
a week, right?
No, it goes for 12 days.
And you're there all 12 days?
No, I leave out of here August 1st. Usually it's a four-day hard ride. So 4 days to get there. I don't ride at night. I just have dinner and have my once I get a long day ride and back of me, and I'll get a hotel, have dinner, and then relax and get up the next day and start again. But that I usually take about an 18-day road trip, so I'll go and leave out of here and then ride South Dakota, stay there maybe 7 to 10 days, and then close the rally down and then head back to Redondo Beach here in California.
How long of a drive is that on your bike?
It's about 3,600 mile round trip.
Wow.
But I like those long trips. I mean, I'm from Ohio. I rode a motorcycle out here from Ohio. I left Ohio, rode down to Daytona, Florida, down to Key West, back to Ohio, and then out here to California all in one summer. There's a lot of riding. But, I like just hitting the road. It's a real sense of freedom. I get a lot of enjoyment out of riding my Harley and flying my Cessna.
Well, I'm kind of curious. Can you tell us about your bike?
Yeah, I have a bucket Harley-Davidson. It's a street glide. It's one of the big ones, has all the buckets, and it's like riding a sofa down the highway, you know. It's pretty comfortable. It's big, you know, and it has all the bells and whistles, you know, so I just load it up and put a bunch of cash in my pocket and hit the highway.
And, well, let me ask you this. Would you ever do I think it'd be cool if you could do like a motorcycle movie.
Yeah, I have one coming up actually, in 2025. It's called Ride to Iron Mountain. And, it's all about bikers.
And when you start filming that one?
That would be, I think that'll be filmed in June of next year.
That's cool. And when you're ready to start releasing some of this stuff, we'd love to have you come back on. We'd love to promote it for you.
Yeah, for sure. I'd enjoy that.
And now you mentioned that you have a Cessna too. How long have you been a pilot?
Since 2017, but I'm going to purchase a Cessna. I rent them right now when I want to go flying.
And I'm guessing that training for that, I pretty much know the answer, but I'm going to ask you, what was more difficult to train for, being a pilot or kung fu, martial arts?
Oh, geez, kung fu. Oh, my God, it's not even close.
I kind of figured. What is your favorite part about flying?
Just the freedom of it, and your troubles are gone. You know, once you're up there in the clouds, your troubles are gone. That's all the stuff that you left behind, the meetings, this or that. And it's just all that stuff just leaves your mind, and you just become one with the clouds. You know, it's just it's fabulous. I love it. You know, I take friends up occasionally. You know, we'll take them around Los Angeles and give them a bird's eye view of Los Angeles. And, you know, just it's really, really cool just looking down and seeing the city you live in from, you know, 2,000 to 5,000, 6,000 feet.
That's awesome. And let me ask you this then. When you mentioned you're working on, you rent Cessnas now and you want to buy your own. Do you plan on buying like brand new, couple years old? Do you have a preference on what you're looking for?
Yeah, it's going to be an older one. A new one will cost you $500,000 right now, maybe a little more even. I'll probably buy one that's 25 years old. These airplanes are designed and built to last. And, you know, the airframe is, you see a lot of sometimes 50s models still out here flying. And that's common, 50s, 60s, 70s. And they're still airworthy and flying. They just have to keep all their maintenance records. And just like, you know, a car, you know, it's just a machine, you know. So it has to be kept up and keep all your maintenance logs and you're good.
And I'm guessing that you also like to work on planes, right?
Not so much. I leave that to the guys. That's all they do is work on planes. You know, I used to work on my own car when they were easy to work on, but now you have to have computers for everything. And you know, I'm a guy that it was. You know, back in Ohio, I remember putting engines in Mustangs, you know, in my parents' driveway. It was a whole different way of dealing with automobiles. They were easy to work on, but planes now, I don't work on them.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys too. Like if I have something wrong with my car, unfortunately, I'm not very tech savvy. So yeah, I'm not a mechanic for, I can work on a car about as well as I can cook dinner, which is not very well at all, but, but it is what it is. We have Mark as our guest here. We got about 4 minutes left. So we can do this, Mark. If our fans want to check you out and see you, do you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok? What do you got?
Well, I'm not on TikTok, but they can get me on Instagram at BeachMantis, one word, Mark Hoadley. They can get me on Facebook, Mark Hoadley, Redondo Beach. And it's, you know, just keep an eye out. Got a lot of good stuff coming up.
And like I say, I want you to stay in contact with me, and I definitely want to have you back on to promote all this stuff, because it sounds like you got a lot of stuff going on, and it's going to be interesting to talk about when you can talk about it more.
Yeah, absolutely. This year or next year are going to be very big years.
All right. Well, what I'll do then is I'll coordinate with you. And not that I'm bragging here, of course people think I am, but our calendar is now full through the end of 2026. 2025 is completely booked up. But what I'd like to do is get you on, because, you know, if when you book guests a year in advance, as a matter of fact, I booked you 8 months ago, when you book guests so far in advance, things happen. You know, you can't explain it. You know, they may get a job acting, or there might be a death in the family, whatever it is. But what I'd like to do is have you back on when you're ready to start working on a project, or when it's ready to be completed and you want to promote it. Send me a message, and then we'll get you on, and we'll clear a segment for you. No problem.
No, that's totally cool. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'd love to do that.
All right. You're awesome, Mark. We do appreciate you taking time out of your schedule, and you are wonderful and awesome, and we thank you for all you do. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Oh, indeed, gentlemen. Have a great one now.
All right. That was Mark, ladies and gentlemen. Man, I'll tell you what. I don't think he's not the kind of guy that you'd want to go up and mess with, I would think. Right, Scott?
Yeah, no. No, not at all.
I mean, there are people that just, like, go looking for trouble. And people would say that I'm one of those kind of guys because I have X-Pod keys. But I try to avoid confrontations as much as I can, unless the situation calls for it, like when I'm at a sporting event. But that's a whole other story. But anyway, Scott, I think we had a, I don't know, our second guest just texted me and said that she had a family emergency, and that obviously takes precedent. So we understand that, but we'll get her back on at some point. And Matthias had an emergency, so he wasn't able to be on, but I think you and I filled in pretty good.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so we got a few minutes here before our theme song hits. What's the rest of the week like for you?
Busy, very busy. Yeah, it starts early in the morning with another Zoom with these guys because, like I said, I'm working on a script for them. So a little bit different.
All right.
You know, they're long meetings. It's normally when like I was saying earlier, you know, when I do these on spec, I just kind of I'm my own boss. I just kind of go ahead and just do it. And that's not how it works when you're hired to write a script for people. You know, you kind of have to, you know, connect the dots together and make sure everything flows right and so forth. So,
well, you know, I know you can't talk
about it. A little nice, though. It's nice, though.
Well, I know you can't talk about it too much, but is there like a deadline that you have to meet? Like you have to have it done in like a month or 3 weeks or 2 weeks or?
Yeah, two drafts of the script over the course of 60 days. So that's awesome. That's what it's looking at.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, our theme song is about to hit, so next week we have another big show. All three guests have been confirmed. We have three guests that are all actors and actresses, and they have, like I say, they have all have confirmed. So if you check our Attitude Era Monday Live Monday page, you check that out. Usually the information for the guests for next week drops on Wednesday. But I did have to get everything out early because of all the stuff that's going on with my father and my family. So I'm not going to have time later on this week. So if you go on our Facebook page, at a Genera Monday Live Monday, you can see who's going to be on next week. And it is going to be a blockbuster show. Hopefully all four of us, you, me, Matthias, and Big Swing will be together. But we'll have plenty of stuff to talk about because we got the draft coming up. And as we talked about earlier, we know that you're not that big of a sports fan, but it's also, you know, it's fun to talk sports with a non-sports fan because we can try and convince you to cheer for our team, which is a good thing.
There you go.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Remember, it's not goodbye. It's just goodnight. Join us every Monday night here on 89.1 Ken's FM from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are here to entertain you every single week. We want to thank our guests, Mark and Jamie. We had a blast with you guys. You guys are wonderful, as always. But with that being said, we're out of here. Love each other. Care for each other. Be safe, as always. We'll see you back here next week. Same time, same channel. Don't miss it next week because we will be back.